Hello, and welcome into the light. I'm Catherine Michelle. On this program, we'll listen to the beautiful choral symphony of Eleanor Remick Warren, The Legend of King Arthur. Eleanor Remick Warren was the only woman among the group of prominent American neo-romanticists of the mid-20th century that include Howard Hanson, Samuel Barber, and Giancarlo Menotti. Born in Los Angeles in 1900, she was the only child of parents who were keen amateur musicians. She had piano lessons from the age of 5 and began writing music while she was at Westlake School for Girls. After a year at Mills College, she went to New York for 4 years, where she continued to study and to work as an accompanist for singers from the Metropolitan Opera when they went on concert tours. The singers often included her songs, many of which had been published, in their repertoires. She married, had a son, and divorced. Based back in Los Angeles, she continued to compose and appear as a pianist and accompanist. By the 1930s, her songs were being performed all over the world by singers such as Kirsten Flagstad. She also began to work on orchestral and choral music. In 1936, Warren married radio producer Z. Wayne Griffith, with whom she had 2 more children. From 1938 to 39, she presented a weekly radio program discussing music that she played at the piano. Warren continued to study, attending private lectures of Arnold Schoenberg when he first arrived in Los Angeles in 1935. She went to study intensively with Nadia Boulanger for 3 months in 1959. These lessons made her reconsider the orchestration of her earlier works, many of which underwent extensive revisions. And that includes the work we're about to hear, which she even retitled, changing it from The Passing of King Arthur to The Legend of King Arthur. In her later works, Warren moved away from her neo-romantic style to a more angular, though still entirely tonal language. She received many commissions, and her orchestral works were performed more than those of any other American woman composer during the 1970s. Warren consistently made career decisions which were not the norm. Although she studied for a while in New York, she chose to live in Los Angeles, where she had originally found her inspiration. When she was married happily and had 3 children, she combined her life as a wife and mother with her work as a composer, vowing that each nurtured the other. She was quite beautiful, by the way. She looked like a cross between Claudette Colbert and Betty Crocker. During the years when many composers were moving toward a more modern idiom, Warren remained true to the neo-romantic style, which seemed to fit her personality. She ignored advice to stick to small forms in order to get more performances and wrote in the grand orchestral scale that she loved. Warren continued to compose until shortly before her death from cancer at the age of 91. The choral symphony, The Legend of King Arthur, created a sensation when it was premiered by the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra and Oratorio Society and carried live coast to coast on the Mutual Broadcasting System in 1940. Let's take a look at the story. As early as the 6th century, evidence of the existence of a great warrior king is woven among many written legends. By the 12th century, Arthur's legend had developed into a considerable body of literature. Though there are numerous variations, the basic story remains the same. Arthur, illegitimate son of the King of Britain, who has been raised in secrecy, wins acknowledgement as king following the death of his father by successfully withdrawing a sword from a stone. Arthur proves to be a noble king and a mighty warrior, the first to envision and materialize the dream of a unified Britain. However, he is forced to struggle against treachery within his own family and is finally mortally wounded by Mordred, variously identified as either his son or his nephew. A prime contributor to the Arthurian lore is Alfred Lord Tennyson, who in 1842 won public and critical acclaim upon the publication of his Idylls of the King. When Eleanor Remick Warren heard Miss Vance, her 12th grade English teacher, read the great epic poem aloud in class, she was mesmerized. She immediately longed to set this text to music, but waited 2 decades until she felt she had acquired the skill to embark upon this work. I can still recall the excitement I experienced every morning as I prepared to go to work in my studio for the day's work, she has written. I could hardly wait to begin. However, after more than a year of work on the score, I felt unsatisfied with my orchestration. I still did not have enough experience to fully accomplish what I dreamed for this composition. So I destroyed my work to that point and took time off while I wrote some short pieces for orchestra to gain more facility of orchestration. Then I began anew. The Legend of King Arthur is written in two parts, divided by an orchestral intermezzo. The first part places emphasis on the drama of the final act of this legendary ruler's life, when he is mortally wounded and commands Bedivere to throw the sword Excalibur back into the sea, which Bedivere cannot bring himself to do until the third try. The second part of the piece emphasizes the spiritual aspects of the story, when King Arthur, his earthly destiny fulfilled, is placed on the barge and borne away by the three mysterious queens to the Happy Isles. Because the work is longer than will fit into our one-hour broadcast, I have to leave some of it out, but we'll hear most of it. There are some recurring musical motives representing King Arthur, the sword Excalibur, the lake waters, and the barge themes. The baritone Thomas Hampson sings the role of King Arthur. Tenor Lawrence Vincent sings his youngest knight, Sir Bedivere, who, before Arthur's death, must return the magical sword Excalibur to the depths of the lake from where it came. The chorus of Krakow narrates the story. The Polish Radio and Television Symphony Orchestra is conducted by Simone Cavalla.